This is Alive with Joseph.
1 to 20. That's quite a long verse. Amen. That's more than some verses some people read in a year. But thanks be to God, you are at Alive Church, where the word of God is the final authority. Amen. Are you ready to read? Now let's read together. I read Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 to 20. NIV translation, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Take note of that as well. I will refer back to it later. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. So he knew about the Messiah. He knew that the Messiah would be born. So he was not ignorant of this truth. Verse 5 says, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time and the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now they presented him three gifts. It didn't mean that they were three people, but they presented him three gifts, which were very significant, you know, in the journey of Jesus on the earth and after, you know, his death and resurrection. But we're not going to be dealing with those three gifts they presented to him. Verse 12 says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape. There are sometimes God wants you to escape. There are sometimes God doesn't want you to fight. He wants you to run. Baleka. Sense those seasons God wants you to run and run. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that your God is a weak God. But God in his wisdom, he knows why he wants you to escape. He didn't say, Joseph, stay there and pray. He said, run. Amen. But we're not teaching all of that. Let's move again. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord has said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and his vicinity who were 2 years old and under. Now, remember the information he got earlier. He knew it was accident. When did the star rise? So that when he was carrying out this information, based on that information they gave him, he decided to kill every boy born within 2 years and under. Now, this was not a random thing he did. He was calculative. He was making sure that the child will be killed in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Verse 18, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Verse 19, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Amen. Amen. Reach out to three people for me. Announce to them, the gift of God towards you cannot be stopped. The gift of God towards you cannot be stopped. The gift of God towards you cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas once again. Thank you so much. Welcome to this beautiful Christmas Day service. And I'm grateful to God that you could make it to church. And those who couldn't make it, I welcome you online as well, wherever you are. I'm happy that you are part of the service. Amen. Glory to God. We are in the Advent season, and the Advent season for the believer is a season where we celebrate the birth or the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His coming is worth celebrating simply because if Jesus had not come, our lives would not have been able to move to another level. So this morning I am teaching on what I titled, The Gift They Couldn't Stop. The Gift They Couldn't Stop. So as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, I want to encourage us to also engage in appreciation. As we celebrate this, I want to encourage you to please engage in appreciation and at the same time, allow Christmas to educate you. Christmas teaches us about God's willingness to work a miracle for us and in us. When we discuss the Christmas story, we often immediately go to the baby in the manger. But I want to encourage you to also observe the narrative from this perspective, that before there was a baby in the manger, there was a miracle in the womb. Before there was a baby in the manger, there was a miracle in the womb. And the Advent season started with a miracle in the womb. So the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ was a revelation that God is willing or was willing to do whatever he needed to do to make sure that you and I get to experience life the way he intended for us. That you and I get to experience life the way he has prepared and ordained for us. So this morning, we have gathered to celebrate the one who came that we may live. The one who came that has given his life for us. The one who came that you and I may have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. The one who laid down his life so that you and I can have life. The one who took our place so that you and I can take his place. The one who exchanged our place and make sure that you and I could have a better place. And 2,000 years ago, our Savior came, that there was an attempt to take his life. This gift that God gave to us, there was an attempt to snatch this gift away from us. And the Bible also tells us, you know, that when you study the book of Matthew chapter 2 that we have read, the Bible brought up a particular character, a particular man named, you know, named Herod, who was disappointed that Jesus was born. He was disappointed that Jesus was born. This man, the Bible gave us, you know, his name and brought up the character, a very key figure, you know, in the days of Jesus. Who is this Herod, you may ask? Who it is Herod? Thank you. Herod was named the governor of Galilee at the young age of 27. At that time, Rome was ruling the entire world. So Israel then was under Herod's command, under Herod's jurisdiction, under the jurisdiction of his rulership. This Herod was a very brutal human being. He married or into a Jewish family as an image laundry. Not necessarily because he loved the Jews, not necessarily because he loved the woman, but he wanted to launder his image because the Jewish people were, the Jewish community was under his leadership. So he married into a Jewish family as an image laundry scheme so that he would be accepted by the Jewish people. In 40 BC, before Christ, in 40 BC, Rome called this man then the King of the Jews. They decided to call him the King of the Jews. Now, which the Jewish people never liked. Why? Number one, he was not a Jewish person by birth. Neither was he Jewish by conversion. This man was so brutal that he killed his own wife out of insecurity. He couldn't handle the fact that his wife, you know, had come from a blessed and a rich family, that his wife was doing better than him. People appreciated his wife more. People, you know, spoke about his wife more. People celebrated his wife more out of jealousy, out of rage, out of insecurity. He killed his own wife. A historian named Flavius wrote about Herod in his writing. He called him a barbaric man. This was the man that we're dealing with here. He called him a barbaric man. Another historian called him a malevolent maniac. He killed his wife, killed his mother-in-law, killed his own two sons and hundreds of others. That is, if you dare say or do anything that is against what he likes, the person is dead. This man, he was very barbaric. He was a maniac. It was said that Herod was so brutal that, you know, you dare not challenge him. You dare not challenge him. Now, the historians will tell us that again, that he began to die from a certain disease that was now causing him to lose his mind. I'm talking about Herod in Matthew chapter 2. I'm trying to educate you so that you can truly appreciate the gift of Christ that came to us. How the enemy wanted this gift not to get to us. Now, the Bible, the historians rather will tell us that this man started dying, you know, of a disease that was now causing him to lose his mind. Now, from our text, as we read into that text, you will also see a group of people as well rose from that text, which were very, very crucial in this discussion. The Bible called them the Magi's. These were men, not just ordinary men, that came to town. These were kings. These Magi's were kings. They were not three of them, even though they gave three gifts. The Bible didn't give us how many they were, but they were kings. These Magi's were kings. And they were not three. Now, if you know the culture of kings, kings don't travel alone. They travel with an entourage, with camels carrying gifts. So the Magi's, you know, they were in this story as well. Then these Magi's, they were kings. They were carrying their entourage, carrying camels and gifts. Also understand that these men, they didn't start their journey when Jesus was born. They didn't start their journey when Jesus was born. They started their journey 2 years before Jesus was born. Are you following me this morning? They started their journey 2 years before Jesus was born. They started their journey when the star rose. So the star rose 2 years ahead. Then they started that journey. When the star rose, they saw that these stars were different. Why? Because these Magi's, you know, they were stargazers. These men, they were stargazers. So the star was already in the sky 2 years before Jesus was born. Are you following me now? The day Jesus was born was not when they started the journey. The star was already in the sky 2 years and nobody knew. Nobody knew. This is so spiritual. That tells you often, you know, people, you don't know what is happening in the realms of the spirit concerning your life. But the enemy already knows. The enemy already knows. And that is why often you see yourself start behaving in a certain way. It's because the enemy have seen what is ahead of you. And because he knows he cannot stop it, he can manipulate you from getting to it. So 2 years already, the star was already in the sky. Nobody knew. The Jews didn't know. Even the mother, even Mary herself didn't know. She didn't know. Even Mary herself was not aware that the star has already appeared. But this man, they saw it, so they started their journey 2 years towards looking for this king. So they started following the star for 2 years. And for 2 years, they've been on the road carrying all the gifts they were going to give to this king that the star, his star has appeared. So let's pick up the story. Let's go back to verse 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 2. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." These wise men, they were called Magi's. King James would call them wise men. They came from the east. These were people who also studied astrology. So astrology was more like an occult practice. They tried to make meaning out of stars. While astronomy is the study of stars, astrology is those who try to make meaning out of stars and the constellation as well. So in the Bible days, astrology and astronomy, they were the same. So these men, when they looked at that star, they studied the star, that particular star, and saw that this star is different. They saw that the star was different from every other star, and they knew that this star referred to the birth of a great king, and the king was the king of the Jews. The king was not just any kind of king, it was the king of the Jews. So they came to town, made an announcement. They came to town. We have seen, they said, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? You can imagine the confusion in the land. You can imagine the all kinds of chaos in the land. People wondering which king. We can't remember the last. There was no king born in the house of Herod and all of those things. But they came and made the announcement. They said, "The king has been born. He is the King of the Jews, and we have come with gifts." We have come with gifts to give to him. And someone ran quickly and told Herod, I believe the person said, "Sir, your seat is under threat. We have just received an announcement that the King of the Jews has been born. Some magi are here looking for him to give him gifts. And they said, you are not the one we're looking for because the king has just been born." Give the Lord your praise this morning. Please give the Lord your praise this morning. So now Herod is hearing that the baby has been born. Who is going to replace him? You can imagine how he went nuts. He went bananas. He couldn't, like, what's going on here? Someone has been born that will replace me and I'm not aware of it. So he decided to set up a theological committee to search where will the Messiah be born and how will the Messiah be born. Eventually, they came back to him and told him it is there in the book of Isaiah. So they recounted it to him, verse 3 to 6. When Herod the king of the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and not Jerusalem within. Did you see confusion in the land? And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, this was the theological committee he set up, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Amen. Only Joseph and Mary knew about the birth of Christ. Others didn't know. But when these magis came with a big entourage of camels with gifts into town, people knew that some kings have come to worship a greater king. My friend, you serve a greater king. A greater king lives on the inside of you. And I came to announce, whatever wants to enthrone itself as a king in your life, I command that thing to fall by fire in the name of Jesus. Only Jesus shall be king over your destiny in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like a believer. Ah, that worried King Herod, because he knew that he was not that greater king. And Herod tried to trick the wise men for information. Listen to how he lied to them. The Herod called the magi secretly. Anyone calling secret meeting over your destiny, I scatter them by fire. Hey, he called them secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." He lied. And the magi knew who the true king was. So the gifts they brought, they didn't give it to Herod. So here Herod is paranoid, feeling that his kingdom is being pulled out of his control. He's full of rage, full of anger. He was so jealous, him being a killer by nature. The killer instinct in him was woken up. Him being a killer by nature. All the spirits of the six Herods before him. There were six Herods before him. He was the seventh Herod. There was the Herod that was alive during the time who supervised the killing of John the Baptist. That was not the same Herod with this. So all the spirits of the six Herods rose on the Israel, because to be a herald is a covenant. To be a herald, you are covenanted to spirits, handed over to spirits. So all of the spirits is like Pharaoh. To be a Pharaoh, it's also a covenant. Actually, because they are deities that people are handed over to. So the six herods, the spirits of the six herods before him rose on the inside of him. And he gave a command to slaughter all the boys in the land from 2 years below, from 2 years. So based on his calculation and the information given to him by the Magi, he decided to kill all the children. Can you imagine, friends? I'm trying to paint a picture for you here this morning. Can you imagine the chaos that was happening in the land? Soldiers in the death squad, they were brought in. They were breaking into people's houses, butchering all the boys. They find you're crying, they collect the boy from you, they put, you know, a cloth around the boy and they butcher the boy. You can imagine blood everywhere. You can imagine blood. Until today, that is still happening. That is still the enemy have not stopped butchering the male gender. The enemy is still attacking the male seed because he knows the male gender bears the seed. He's still attacking the male seed till today because he understands if he cannot kill the male seed, he corrupts them. If he cannot kill the male seed, he corrupts them. He made sure that the person who them, he made sure that that male seed will not be useful to the family and to the land and to the community. When the devil wants to destroy a community, he attacks the male children. I don't know about our nation, South Africa. I don't know what statistics says. But the American statistic says that in the United States, they have more black males in jail than they have in the university. They have more black males in jail than they have in university. There are more black young men in jail than they have in university. So the Bible makes it clear that this man decided to kill all the children because he was threatened. He was afraid. He wanted to stop this gift. He wanted to make sure that these gifts that God has given to humanity will not arrive. But thanks be to God, in his sovereignty, he did not allow the enemy's agenda to come to pass. I don't know who you are. I pray for you this morning. The agenda of hell will not come to pass in your life in the name of Jesus. Whatever the enemy wants to stop from happening in your life, I decree and I declare it will not happen in the name of Jesus. What God has said concerning you shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. A man, the historian, which I mentioned earlier on, the historian named Flavius Josephus, who was a famous secular historian who lived about 200 years after Christ, he captured some of these things that completely confirms the Bible and also this incident. I think his materials are out there, you know, that completely confirms the Bible and this incident. Flavius actually said, he said that Herod died in agony. He died insane. He died tormented and delirious. So when Herod died, they buried his body in a grave not far from Jerusalem. Not long after that, after his death, an angel appears to Joseph and Mary and tells them to go back that Herod is dead. Herod could not stop the birth of our Savior. All the host of hell could not stop the birth of our Savior. Nothing could destroy him. He still reigns forever as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He still reigns forever as the one who will rule over the entire nation. He still reigns forever as the governor of all nations. They couldn't stop him. They did everything to stop this gift. Herod attacked this gift, did everything. He didn't mind to spill blood in the land just to stop this gift. But can I tell you this? Because God, in his sovereignty, has already ordained that this gift will get to us, he made sure that the gift was preserved. I don't know who you are, whatever it is that the Lord has prepared for you, I declare it is preserved and it will get to you in the name of Jesus. No devil will corrupt it in the name of Jesus. No devil will take it from you in the name of Jesus. So the message is this. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 to 7 tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I said all of that to make you realize or to enable you understand how important this day is. that Christmas is not just any kind of day. How important this day is. Billy Graham of blessed memory, he said, and I quote him, Christmas should be a day when our minds go back to Bethlehem beyond the noise of our materialistic world to hear the soft flutter of angels' wings. So we need to understand that the enemy wants to make this season to appear to be like a materialistic season. The enemy have always wanted to stop Christmas. The enemy have always wanted to corrupt Christmas. The enemy have always wanted to make sure that you and I will look less of Christmas. That is why you see in our generation, this season has become so much of a materialistic season. It has become so much of a season where people are killing themselves just to have certain things. Forgetting that the gift of Jesus is the greatest gift anyone can ever have. You may be here, nobody gave you a gift, nobody bought anything for you. But can I tell you this? You already have the greatest gift. You already have Jesus, the gift that no one could stop from getting to you. This morning, lift your voice and celebrate the gift that God has given to you. Celebrate the gift that God has given to you. Don't let social media run you into depression where people are opening gifts and you go to social media, someone opens their gift and you're feeling like, why me, Lord? Why was I left out? Why me? What is happening to me? My friend, nothing is happening to you. You have the greatest gift. The devil couldn't stop that gift from getting to you. Hell couldn't stop that gift from getting to you. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He lives in you. You live in him. In him you live. In him you move. In him you have your being. Give Jesus your praise. You have the greatest gift. You received a gift, celebrate it. You don't receive a gift, also celebrate. You and I have the greatest gift, Christ. No devil could stop him from getting to us. At the time of Jesus' birth, the Jewish people anticipated a royal king to deliver them from oppression. That was why that even though Jesus came, they still missed him, because they were anticipating a royal king that will come and deliver them from the Roman oppression and establish an earthly kingdom. But what they didn't receive, that was why they didn't receive the birth of Christ. They didn't receive the birth of Christ because they were anticipating, you know, a royal king that will come with his army to destroy the Roman Empire. Instead, God established his eternal kingdom, not just on this earth, but also in the hearts of men. He provided a pathway for you and I through Jesus to salvation. He reconciled us to right relationship with himself through the gift called Jesus. He brought hope to a broken world. Though many of the Jewish people these days, they are not fully understanding what is going on. But the truth is, this gift has reconciled you and I back to God. He has reconciled you and I, giving us access to salvation, giving us access to hope, giving us access to joy, giving us access to peace, giving us access to what the earthly king cannot give to us. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Before Jesus came, the entire world was a slave to sin. God's people were required to make an atoning sacrifice, a sacrificial offering to atone for their sins. Why? That was beautiful then. But aren't you grateful to God that you don't have to bring a sacrificial offering every day to atone for your sin? Aren't you grateful to God that one offering was given once and for all to take care of our past, our present, and our future sin? Aren't you grateful to God that you don't have to enter the Holy of Holies with a sacrificial lamb again? Aren't you grateful to God that when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you with the eyes of your sin. He looks at you with the love of Jesus. Let's celebrate this King of Kings this morning. Listen, child of God, because of Jesus, you have hope. Thunder, I have hope. Thunder, I have hope. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 to 16, the Apostle Paul lays out clearly just how great a gift you and I have in Christ. He says this is a trustworthy saying. and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am the worst of them all. That's why Jesus came. Listen, friends. Everything else happening is not the reason why Jesus came. He remains the reason for the season. Gifts are not the reason for the season. Parties are not the reason for the season. Family gatherings are not the reason for the season. The reason for the season, put only verse 15 for me, please. The reason for the season is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If this gift had not come, you and I wouldn't have had salvation. Here is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am worst. If we miss this, then Christmas will just be another pagan day. Another day set up for pagan worship. So be careful. You've not received any gift. Celebrate Jesus. That is not the reason why he came. You've received. Also celebrate. And also understand that the gift you receive is not the reason why Jesus came. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. And Paul the apostle actually is the right person to say this. Before his salvation, he persecuted Christians. Yet God freely poured out his extravagant grace on him. Poured out his mercy on him. Working through him to write so much, almost the entire New Testament. And he was able to spread the gospel globally. Jesus too referenced the overflowing grace of God in his parable of the unmerciful servant in the book of Matthew chapter 18. When you read from verse 23 to 35, in verse 27, he said, "Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave him his debt." That is exactly the birth of Christ. What the birth of Christ is for us. That is what the birth of Christ. He came to cancel everything that you and I owe to God. He came to cancel everything that we owe to God. We owe to God. He came to cancel past, present, and future sin. He came to cancel everything we owe to God. So, child of God, Christmas time is a reminder of the grace of God that we have received. Christmas time is a reminder of the mercy of God that freely overflows to you and I. Christmas time is a reminder that God has accepted the payment of our sins and that you and I should rejoice forevermore. So your salvation, and as a result of that, it should influence you now to begin to also live a life of forgiveness and grace to those around you. Live a life of grace and forgiveness towards those who are around you. Hallelujah. And you and I, as I close somewhere here, understand that because of what Jesus has done in our hearts, you and I must extend such love to everyone. That is why I keep saying, God is not a secret to be kept. The gospel is good news. This should become one of the seasons where you should reach out to as many as you can. Spread the good news of the gospel. Spread the good news of how the love of God has been freely given to everyone. That Christmas is a reminder of the love of God. Christmas is a reminder of John chapter 3 verse 16. Christmas is that reminder. So in this season, as you celebrate Christmas, wherever you are, as you celebrate Christmas, whatever you have to celebrate with, you have, you know, a buffet to celebrate with. Let it be a reminder of the incredible mercy of God. You have Mahewu to celebrate. Celebrate with, for those who are overseas, who don't know Makeu, I don't know how to explain it, but I think it's soured milk or porridge, whatever it is, but within that soured porridge, but there's something sour inside. So you but just Google it, you'll find it there. Amen. Whatever you have to celebrate with, remind yourself. What I am eating or not eating does not define the gift that I've received. That I've received the greatest gift. And that gift is with me. That gift can never be taken from me. No death can take it. No man can take it. No devil can take it from me. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So I want you to walk in that hope and confidence. It doesn't matter what you have done, where you have been, or how you think of yourself. You are forgiven. I say you are forgiven. I say you are forgiven. I say you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what you have done, where you have been, or how you think of yourself. I came to remind you on this Christmas day, child of God, you are forgiven. And you no longer have to carry the weight of paying for your own sin and failure again. Jesus paid it all. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So you and I can walk confidently in the freedom of knowing that Jesus has broken the rule of sin over us. He has broken the rule and the debt of sin of our life. He has delivered us from a debt you and I could never have been able to pay. He paid it all. He has made sure that there is no charge laid against us, for there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He has made sure that there is no charge. No charge is laid against you, my friend. As you leave this place, live with that assurance. Live with that assurance. Listen, live with that assurance. This year might have been a terrible year for you, but I want you to be assured that no matter what happens, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think of. This year might have been a challenging year for you. Can I tell you this? Because you have the greatest gift of all, no matter what you have been through, God will bring you out. He will restore you. And by the time you look back at your life, it will look like you never went through it. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Child of God, you have hope. You have hope. You have the promise of eternal life. That is a reason to celebrate Christmas. Oh, they say Jesus was not born on December 25th. Well, praise Jesus. I'm not ready for all of that theological argument and all of that religious jargon. I'm not ready for that. I'm just grateful that I could set out a day to celebrate Jesus. Not that I don't celebrate him every day. Every day is celebration of Jesus in our lives. But on this day, we have chosen to just zoom in and appreciate this gift. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So the year might have been a terrible year, a challenging year for you, but I want you to know you have hope. You have hope. You have the promise of eternal life in him, and that is worth celebrating. You have hope, my friend. You are not hopeless. You have hope. Yes, I acknowledge your challenges. I too have gone through my challenges this year. But what keeps me going is I look and I say, I have hope. And I have the greatest gift no challenge can take from me. Listen, you have the greatest gift no challenge can snatch from you. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Lift your voice, thunder, I have hope. Declare boldly, say, I have hope. Now lift your voice, repeat after me, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son to make a way for me so that I can have everlasting relationship with you. This Christmas, I remind myself of how much you love me and how much I mean to you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I announce to creation, I have the greatest gift no one can take from me. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Listen, you have the greatest gift. As you leave this place, as you unwrap whatever physical gift you have received, remind yourself that even if the physical gift was not there, you have the greatest gift. And for those you're not unwrapping any gift, still remind yourself, I have the greatest gift. Lift your voice. Please give him praise. Worship him this morning. Worship him this morning.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.